Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
All right, just a little death and dismemberment trivia for you. Do you know what the number one cause of death is on the planet? The number one cause of death on the planet. Is it heart disease? No, it is not. Is it stroke? No, it is not. Is it cancer? No, it is not. Actually, if you add all three of those things together worldwide, you don't get the number that it is. It's 41 million, and the number one cause of death on planet Earth today, and has been for about 40 years, is abortion. And so one of the things that we always talk about on this show is the life issue. I'm a follower of Christ, as you know. And so if you're a follower of Christ, how do you not do that? And then every once in a while, like today with the March of Life for Life here in Washington, D.C., with probably a couple hundred thousand, we'll see what CNN says. I mean, they probably said it was more like a dining room's worth. But there was a couple hundred thousand people out there, would be my guess. We'll find out later. And so that's awesome, because you have a one-day event, which is wonderful, and but there's 364 other days in a year, not just this one. And so when it comes to the life issue, you take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you to advance the ball. And one of the bigger opportunities we've seen in a while as we, how many of you like movies, go to movies? That's pretty much all of us. So all of a sudden, you may have heard the story of Abby Johnson, who used to be a darling in the Planned Parenthood movement. She was a clinic director, employee of the year, and one day they asked her to partake in an abortion. And in the process, she used the wand and was doing an ultrasound abortion. And then on the screen, she saw the child, the baby, yes, the human being, recoil as the abortionists came in for the kill. That was the last day for Abby. And out of that came a book called Unplanned. And now out of that comes a movie called Unplanned. And actually, Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman have been on the show before. You would know them originally. Well, they've done a lot of stuff in Hollywood. They've been there for about 120 years. And but God's Not Dead is probably the one that you would know the most. And it's really an amazing story for Carrie and Chuck. And God just brought them into union with the Unplanned movie. And then one of the people, I was out there in Oklahoma City and was hanging out on set for a couple days. And then my friend Joe Knopp threw me in there. And I was on the steps of a courthouse. And I had to have an encounter with a woman playing a Planned Parenthood heavy. Now, normally, I would probably, in Jesus' name, have a problem with her. But that day, I didn't. Robia Scott is her name. She actually plays one of the main roles in Unplanned. So we've got Robia, we have Carrie, and we have Chuck. Welcome to the show. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us.
Okay, ladies first. Sorry, Carrie
Woo-hoo!
And Chuck.
That's
we're going to go ladies
okay,
first.
Back, guys.
Thank you. That's very good.
Go.
So Robia, tell me about your track, your adventure, your journey into Unplanned. And then what kind of impact has it had on you?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I started my career in entertainment as a young gal. I saw the movie Flashdance back in the day. Oh, yes.
I'm dating myself. I'm with you, girl.
Oh, yeah. I got a big old perm, bought a lot of leg warmers. So I became a professional dancer. I worked with Prince, traveled the world with him, was an actress on all different TV shows, known for Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I was on that for a couple years. And that is when I became a Christian. It was during my time on that show that I came to know the Lord. So shortly thereafter, I just felt a call of God on my life. I felt like he was removing me from entertainment and moving me into ministry. So that's really what I've been doing for the last 15 plus years.
Wow.
Speaking. I wrote a book called Counterfeit Comforts. I travel and I speak. I'm a minister. In the last year or two, I had people start to pray over me and speak over my life that they thought that God was not done with me in Hollywood. So I said, well, we'll have to see. I'm definitely not going to pursue it because there's not a lot out there that fits in who I am currently. So it would have to be a kingdom project. God would have to do it. Long story short, I was somewhere on a TV show doing press for my book, wound up meeting a gal who said, I need to introduce you to these writer directors. I met Chuck and Carrie. We had a coffee. We had a coffee and just connected, and they told me about the project, and instantly I was intrigued and I felt excited about possibly being a part of the project. They said, you know, we don't know. We don't know if it's for you or not. We really are led by God. If God wants you in it, it'll be, but we know there's a connection here. So let's just see how it all unfolds. I said, great. A few weeks later, they called me in. I read for the movie, and then that was kind of that. I wasn't offered it on the spot. They things unfolded. And then at some point, I got the phone call and they invited me to be a part of the film.
So your venture back into the Hollywood scene, and you're playing a Planned Parenthood heavy.
Yes.
In a very anti-Planned Parenthood movie. So have you been concerned at all, Robia, about any backlash that might come your way? And have you kind of experienced that, and especially on the spiritual side?
Well, I'm in a unique position because many of the cast in the movie are professional actors. So for them, they were warned, really, that this could put them in a volatile position with how they're going to move forward with their career. But I was a unique situation because I had no plans to go to Hollywood. If I'm blacklisted from Hollywood, that's fine, because that's not my place.
Yeah, right.
So I was excited to do the movie, but then also a little bit of trepidation about the backlash from our current culture.
Sure.
And, you know, the war that's going on. But I think the desire to bring forth this truth, you know, I'm a minister, so I'm passionate about truth. That's my life. Truth, truth, truth. And bringing that to people, you know, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of the truth.
Yep.
So for me, an opportunity to take an issue as big as this, which I was surprised as a Christian to learn that so much of our country doesn't really have a full picture of the truth because of how media portrays it, just like we've seen in our political realm in the last couple of years.
Exactly right.
It's the same exact thing.
Which is really the whole point behind the movie, is to put the truth in front of people in a format that they might not otherwise ever encounter in a movie. Carrie and Chuck, so, I mean, talking to Robia and her coming on board, what was it like to recruit people to be in a movie that you knew would get slammed spiritually, it's going to get slammed politically, it's going to get slammed culturally, and yet you're pulling people into that? What was it like to find the right people and secure them for the movie?
Yeah, well, it wasn't easy, you know, but I will say that we did pray. We try to walk with the Lord, pray on everything, do everything. You know, if we had it all way, we would have made a Western. Okay. this was not what we wanted to do.
I'd be flying a $55 million jet at 40,000 feet right now, but that was my plan.
And so, but what happened was, you know, we prayed on it. Once the Lord said, go forth and, you know, I am with you. Do not fear. This is for my glory.
Yeah.
We said, okay, we're going to go do it. And then we prayed and on the actors, and we heard, do not go SAG. And I'm like, well, that only takes like 999 people.
Wow. Hold that thought. We're going to keep talking to Carrie and Chuck and Robia, and we might hear from Chris Jones if he's done putting out fires. He's one of the producers on Unplanned. This is Steve Noble live from Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. We'll be right back. Director and a drummer. That's who's with me today at the Museum of the Bible here in Washington, D.C. The drummer being Carrie Neil Peart Solomon, who you have some rhythm, though. It's pretty good for an older white guy. I mean, I'm impressed. I just said that. I just said an older white guy has rhythm, and that shocks me. So what do you think of me now?
I think it makes me special.
You are special.
I'm the one person that... old white guy who has rhythm.
Anyway, we're talking about something that you need to get on your radar screen, and not just, is it March 29th is the day this launches the Unplanned movie across the country. Not just March 29th. It's not like you put it on your calendar and you're done. No, your job starts now, because with knowledge comes responsibility. That's the deal. So that's one of the troublesome things for Americans in the gospel, is there's a church on every corner, and a lot of people have heard the gospel, and it's in your face, and so now you're responsible for what you've heard. Well, now we've got something like Unplanned out on March 29th, and now you know about it. And this will be the most effective pro-life movie that we've ever seen. It's very aggressive because it's going right at Planned Parenthood, which obviously is a sacred cow, to say the least, in this country, not just on the cultural level, but on the political level and the spiritual level. And so let's make sure we are doing at the very least, you have to pray for everybody involved with this, whether it's Robia, who's one of the main actresses and plays one of the Planned Parenthood leaders, or it's Carrie, or it's Chuck, or it's Chris Jones, who's a producer, or Daryl Lefevre, or Joe Knopp, and who's the
what's the young lady that plays Abby Johnson?
Ashley Bradshaw.
Ashley, and we need to be praying for all these people. If you can't remember their name, just pray for everybody on Unplanned and pray for God to blow all kinds of Holy Spirit power into the sails of this thing, because this has to go all over the place, and it's all about the first weekend. You say, oh, I got to put that on my calendar. Oh, it's going to be too crowded the first week. If you don't go the first weekend, you're shooting it in the foot, and you can't do that. That's the nature of the beast in movies. You got to get out the first weekend, and you can't go alone. Talk to your pastor. There's going to be screenings that are going on. I'm going to do a screening in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're going to do one down in Charlotte. We'll probably do one in Winston-Salem. That's just in North Carolina, wherever you're at, and the other 14 states where we're on. You need to get involved. And, guys, what's the website?
www.unplanned.com.
Unplanned.com. Okay, Chuck, little trivia question here. Youngster media trivia question. Are you ready? Do we still need to say www when we're talking about a website?
No, but we're dinosaurs.
Carrie, I mean, you're never going to talk to me again. I'm giving you so much grief.
Dinosaur type thing.
Yes, but we love you for it. So once again, the website is...
About videotape a couple weeks ago. And
wow.
Used our other producer to us.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. So we got to make sure we're doing our part. And then, of course, when the movie comes out, and don't go alone. Take your family and friends and your church. Back to you, Carrie. And so bringing people into the movie and then on the set. I noticed it. But what was it like to make this movie, just from a regular movie making production perspective, but mostly from the spiritual side? I want to ask all three of you that question.
Well, you know, I mean, it's never easy to make a movie. People think that they suddenly appear in the movie theater. It's not it. You know, it's 20-hour days for hundreds of days sometimes. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. Pre-production, production. I mean, it's go, 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 go. You just don't stop. It's exhausting, it's tempting, but it's fulfilling. And it doesn't hurt that when you're working for the Lord, you have a motivation that keeps you going. And so you do the best you can. And, you know, you're making 1,000 decisions an hour. And so you mentally, you burn out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're getting 4 hours sleep. You know, the food, you grab something here or there. So it's like a battle. If you were Patton going into battle somewhere.
It's difficult anyway.
Yeah, it's amazingly difficult. But the Spirit was with us, and I do believe that it changed everything of the whole.
Yeah, it was like there was a hurricane, but we were in the eye of the hurricane.
Wow, that's beautiful.
And because of the prayer, a lot of the actors, a lot of the crew commented that they'd never been on a set like this. It was so calm.
Yep.
There was no screaming, no out-of-control egos. People were praying for each other. They were gathering in little groups and praying. It was just, it was a very, very unusual for the film industry kind of environment.
Yeah.
And really the way we'd like to do it again.
And how many films have you guys been involved with?
Well, in one way or another, a lot. I mean, we've been in the business 30 years, TV features. We've either written, produced, direct, or been involved with other projects that we've bought. I don't know, dozens, you know. But
would you say then it was the most, well, we're living in the eye of the storm experience you've had making
a
movie?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's the highest watermark of where we've gone, but it's also the most dangerous, but it's the most walk in faith. You know, an hour before we're ready to go, we need $1 million. We don't have it.
That's a great story. I love that story. That's a great story.
It's crazy. I mean, how do you explain that?
Yeah, it's just the Lord said, this is happening. And guess what? When the Lord says it's happening.
And the guy calls me up and gives me $1 million and says, Jesus told me to give you $1 million.
That's so awesome. I love that. Robia, what about for you? You had a long career, a illustrious career doing film and Hollywood and TV and all that stuff. What was it like for you on set and dealing with this?
The experience was completely different than anything I'd ever encountered. I mean, to be on set with people that were full of faith and to be able to be who you are in an environment... to have a prayer department. I mean, I don't think people understand that. You know, when you have a television show or a film, you have different departments. You have a wardrobe department. You have a makeup and hair department. But to be on a project that has a prayer department where you have people continually interceding, praying over you, it was just a completely different environment.
Yeah, that's so encouraging. So kind of take it for people that aren't familiar with Abby's story and with the Unplanned book, which is fabulous, and then the movie coming out. Take us just quickly kind of through the storyline from start to finish. What is this about?
20-year-old girl walks across Texas A&M, gets volunteered through a volunteer fair. Planned Parenthood recruits her, lies to her, manipulates her, has her drink the Kool-Aid, tells her, don't you love women? And she says, of course I do. Comes down to the facility, slowly gets indoctrinated, all of a sudden moves up the ladder because she's very, you know, go, go, go,
yeah.
proud of herself, and then all of a sudden becomes the head director of the facility and is rocking and rolling. Everybody in her life is pro-life. Her husband is pro-life. Her mom and dad. And what Planned Parenthood loved about Abby was she was forceful, charismatic, very good at what she did.
Employee of the year, the whole nine.
Employee of the year had a
churchgoer.
And a churchgoer.
And a couple of abortions, too.
Yeah, she had two abortions, so she was totally sold out. One day she comes into work, 28 years old, has committed over 22,000 abortions, overseen them, you know, brings the doctors in.
Yep.
And they say, Abby, they need you in the back room. And she walks into the back room, totally, you know, unaware. And the doctor says, hold the ultrasound. And she puts the ultrasound on the baby.
Normally, you don't have an ultrasound guided. Right.
And ironically, those procedures would be much safer if they were all ultrasound guided.
Right.
Planned Parenthood discourages them because it takes an extra 3 to 4 minutes per patient to do it that way.
Yeah, you don't want to slow down the assembly.
Yeah, right.
It'll cost you money.
Doctors cranking out 40 abortions.
That's right. Yep.
Right. And so she sees something, and she says in her book, she says, it was a perfect baby. For the first time in any ultrasound I've ever seen. It had hands, legs, it was moving, it was like we were holding it. And then the doctor puts the catheter in, and the baby tries to escape. And she freezes because she realizes, that's a baby.
It's not just cells.
And the doctor looks at her and says, duh.
And it's alive.
Yeah.
What and it's think? Aware.
Right. What do you think it is we do here?
Was she a mom herself by that point?
Yeah.
That just goes to show you how stinking effective the devil can be in the flesh, in the world, that you could be a mom and go down that road and still work. We had a lady that spoke at our event last fall who was a Christian and went to work at a Planned Parenthood clinic for a year. And it's like, how do you justify that? It's difficult. We'll be right back. That's why you need to go to Facebook. Join us on Facebook Live. We're live here on the site of one of the most incredible things. Well, it's probably the most incredible thing in Washington, D.C. now, which is the Museum of the Bible. About 430,000 square feet, $500 million in the building, $45 million worth of technology. And if you can't get to the Holy Land, this is the second stop on a Christian's bucket list. So if you can't get to the Holy Land, which most of us can't, then get to the Museum of the Bible. This place will blow you away. I've been here 10 or 11 times now, and every time I walk through the halls and go through the exhibits, there's another layer of the onion. It's just remarkable. It will strengthen your faith. It will encourage you. It will challenge you. And mostly it will inform you. There's so much more depth there than any of us know. And we were talking, and this kind of came up a little bit earlier. I don't know who said this. We're talking to Robia Scott, who's one of the main characters. What's your character's name, Robia, in the movie?
I play Cheryl.
Cheryl.
The face of Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, this is when we all go, ugh.
Wah, wah, wah.
So Robia Scott plays Cheryl, who's just a wicked woman.
She is.
But you're sweet and my sister in Christ forever, and that's awesome. So,
thank you.
There you go.
It's called acting, my friend.
Thank you. I probably should do a little of that myself. And then Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman, who are the directors. And it's just Unplanned coming out again March 29th.
Yep.
Yes. Unplannedmovie.com.
Unplanned.
When I don't finish the sentence, generally that's me crying for help.
Unplanned.com. Okay.
When you drop my www, I figured I drop your .com.
That's so good. I love Carrie Solomon. I love it. It's so beautiful. But Unplanned coming out in March, and we all have to do our part. And every Christian, I think every Christian I know says they're pro-life, right? Just about every Christian I know says they're pro-life.
I don't know.
All right, what does it say?
It's sad.
It's really sad, actually. Embarrassing for we're Catholic. Catholics, those who self-identify as Catholics right now, overall, it appears that they're breaking in favor of abortion by 14 points.
Do you know what percentage of Americans self-identify as Christian?
About low 70%.
76. 76%. When you dig into that a little bit more, starting asking them the questions to find out who actually understands what the gospel is and what the Bible teaches about who goes to heaven, you're more of about 13-14%. So it doesn't shock me at all when you said what you just said, that we all kinds of people that say they're Christians,
right?
But not that many of them are actually pro-life.
And Abby Johnson's clinic patients, or they call them clients, over 70% of those would self-identify as Christian as well.
And so let's not, we tend to stay in the holy huddle oftentimes. And most of our friends are people in the holy huddle, and that's who we talk to, and that's who we hear from. This isn't going to be very politically correct, but then it's me saying it. I say that one of the biggest sins in the Christian church today, is, how should I say this? Incest. That's always the word I use. It's incest. And we keep all our love inside the family. And we don't love on people much outside the family.
Yep.
We don't spend a lot of time with them. We kind of reserve all our love for ourselves. And so we all have a responsibility here when it comes to unplanned and the issue of life to get behind this, not only to go and buy tickets for your friends and get your church involved, but then to tell other people and to pray. And that all needs to start today. As a matter of fact, before we end the show today, we'll all pray together for unplanned and for everybody involved with it. But Carrie, you were talking about the movie itself when we were in the story, and Abby went in. Abby Johnson, who is a darling in Planned Parenthood, she was in there helping with a guided abortion, ultrasound guided abortion. She saw the baby recoil because it's a baby, and then she was out of there. Right? Was it that day, or how quickly did she leave?
Well, it took a little while because she was processing it, but she was crushed by it because she saw the baby try to get away from the catheter.
Yeah,
and it couldn't. The doctor says, and I kid you not, he looks to the other nurse and says, "Beam me up, Scotty."
Oh man!
And Abby just loses it. Runs out of the thing into the runs out of the room into the bathroom and realizes, what have I done? I just murdered 22,000 children.
And then she leaves and she goes across the street. Wasn't there a 40 Days for Life?
She goes out. Yeah,
about 100 yards down the street was the headquarters for 40 Days for Life, and she actually took a couple days to process it. She immediately knew she never wanted to be part of another abortion.
Yeah,
but her thing to in real life, she said, but you know, don't mistake me for a pro-lifer or anything like that.
Yeah,
and they were just nodding like, okay, for about. The first hour or so, you're doing pretty good so far. And then over the next couple of days, what we couldn't recreate in the film because it just would have been too long was kind of interesting. Sean Carney took her kind of by the hand. They went to a local hospital. She met Dr.
Sean, the founder of 40 Days for Life, or the local?
Yeah,
okay.
And took her to a doctor who was a former abortionist.
Yeah.
He and his wife had been an abortionist team, and he found the Lord.
Wow.
And he basically said to her, look, your conscience knows this is wrong. Of course you can't go back in there, and we're going to help guide you spiritually, and we're going to pull you out of darkness.
Wow. And so what happened? And then, because now she's a champion in the pro-life movement.
Right. They came to try and destroy her, you know, sue her, take her to court, put her in jail. And when that failed, basically, then they actually, without realizing it, or planning it, they created their own monster, because then she said, okay, now I'm free to say whatever I want to say, and I'm going to tell all the secrets, and I'm going to go around the world doing what I do and what I know. And if you met Abby, I mean, she's vibrantly charismatic about everything she does, and shows she forcefully can tell you this and that about Planned Parenthood. And so when somebody says to her, oh, it's this or that, she's like, excuse me, I was a Planned Parenthood director. I know all the secrets, and I'm telling you what the deal is.
And a lot of that comes out in the film. You know, we had David DeLayden's attorney, Andy Beth, who's with the Thomas More Society, and he watched the film last night, and he said, I actually learned some things about abortion last night.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is that this story takes place in that world.
Right.
And so they wind up just talking about things, you know, sales techniques for abortion, or just a whole host of things that just come up in their conversation that people are just never normally exposed to.
Well, you mentioned the reaction. So what kind of reactions are you running into in the screenings?
It's been unbelievable. I will say that we've been in the business for over 30 years. You see movies come and go. Some get hot, some don't. Some get people very excited. A lot of people get happy when they leave. This is, we've never seen an effect where audiences, every single person is moved to a place that I've never seen. And crying, but purging, okay, we had one of the women that was Kermit Gosnell's nurse in one of the screenings last night. So I want you to imagine the luggage that she's carrying. She walks out in tears. We interview her, have it on tape, and she says, all I can say is what I just saw. The one word I would say about this movie is love. And ironically, it's a bitter pill because we don't hold back. This is not a boy meets girl, boy and girl get pregnant, should we have the baby, shouldn't we? And then, of course, they walk off into the sunset holding hands and they have the baby. We turn the ship into the wave against Planned Parenthood.
On a scale from 1 to 10, how t- tough, difficult, dark, brutal, uncomfortable is the movie? Because people are going to ask that question, but then I always say, listen, I get it if we're talking about your kids.
It's in a number of different places. You know, there's a lot of humor in the movie. Ironically, Abby described her workplace as the front end on days when they weren't doing procedures. It was a lot of fun. And we portray that in the film.
Yeah.
And the gals who worked there have a good time. But there are other scenes that are particularly troubling.
Well, we tried to humanize it, too.
I was going to say, was it tempting to dehumanize the Planned Parenthood workers?
You know, to be honest, we didn't want to propagandize. I just wanted to tell the truth.
Just
and
tell
the Lord
story.
Says, the truth will set you free. Yeah, well, the truth set Abby free. We're hoping that women, post-abortive women especially, post-abortive men, with the reaction that we're getting from men is staggering, that we're hoping that they can find hope, comfort, love, mercy, forgiveness. You know, the movie is saying, look, we're not condemning you. Mm-hmm. We're just saying we've got to stop murdering children.
Yeah.
And if you've done that, you can find peace. You can find forgiveness. You can leave your bags on the train station, get on the train and find a happiness that you've never thought you could have. And so that's the core of the movie. And that's what Abby does. Abby, in real life, tries to pull people out of the abortion industry. Workers, she's done over 500 people so far.
These are not monsters working in the industry.
And in Abby's ministry, they're mailing letters and postcards to abortion clinic workers.
Uh-huh.
What's the name of the ministry? Jan?
And then there were none. Mm-hmm.
And praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
You come at this from every different direction.
It's with love that we made the movie. It's with love that Abby does what she does. It's with love that Robier and we and everybody involved did this movie. It's not condemnation.
Yeah.
And people are responding.
Robia?
You know, it might hit some people very strongly, but I don't feel like it's trying to hit in between the eyes to hurt them. But, you know, in our church world, we have the statistics are staggering about how many are sitting in the churches that have gone through this.
One in four,
personally.
Some say one in three women in America by the age of 40 will have an abortion.
Right? So I think what this movie, one of the things this movie is going to do, it might uncover some things that could be uncomfortable, but the only way to heal, we have to feel and deal in order to heal.
Well, you got
to
bring it out of the darkness.
If it's in the dark,
that's Satan's chew toy.
That's where shame is. That's where condemnation is. That's where regret is. So I think this is going to be an incredible opportunity for us to bring this out into the open, not to shame or to judge, but to bring a release, an emotional release, a spiritual release, true redemption, true healing.
So if people should not be nervous to bring their pro-choice friends to the movie.
No, for those who are pro-choice, they should be looking at this is a powerfully dramatic story of one woman's choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And she spends a lot of the film agreeing with them.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back. This is Steve Noble live from Museum of the Bible with our friends at the Unplanned Movie. Unplannedfilm.com is the website. Unplannedfilm.com. We'll be right back. You recognize it?
I do.
Yeah.
David Bowie. Oh, you don't hear a lot of David Bowie on Christian radio, but you do on this show because it's the Steve Noble show, and we're not very reverent in some different ways. But anyway, set that aside. We're live at the Museum of the Bible today in Washington, D.C., the March for Life today, which was awesome, and one of the greatest things about the March for Life today and in the last several years is the overwhelming presence of young people, and that's great. Actually, the current younger the population in America is more pro-life than my population. I'm 52, soon to be 53, and they're actually, polling-wise, they're actually more pro-life than our generation. And our generation is the one that fought the culture war, which is awesome. We needed to be fighting for life. We often didn't do it with love. I was going to tell you guys, we were just talking about this off the air on Facebook Live. Coming out of all that, when I was like Mr. Culture Warrior guy and a hammer and everything's a nail, once God started to correct my heart for the lost, and so I look at Planned Parenthood people. I stand outside Planned Parenthood clinics, and my heart weeps for these people. You look at people, and you should love them because they're made in the image of God. And there's no litmus test for that. If you're legal or illegal, if you're right or left, black or white, rich or poor, Planned Parenthood, or the Crisis Pregnancy Center, everybody's made in the image of God. So eventually I heard this sermon by Tim Keller. And Tim Keller said, if you're all truth and no grace, you're a bully. That's the culture war. That's what we're usually known for, evangelical Christians. You're all truth, but no grace, you're a bully. Reverse that. If you're all grace and no truth, you're a coward. So you're a Christian that doesn't want to talk about the pro-life issue. You don't want to talk about Planned Parenthood. You don't want to vote based on that. And so you compromise on everything. But Jesus, John chapter 1, verse 14, full of both grace and truth.
Jim never makes it easy.
He doesn't. I listen to that because I would listen to Ravi Zacharias for my mind, and then I would listen to Tim Keller to soften my heart. And then that day, I'm like, I'm never listening to this dirtbag again because that's just way too uncomfortable. Anyway, we're here talking to some of the people that God has used to make Unplanned, the movie coming out in March, possible, and it brought it to light, and we all got to get behind it. Unplannedfilm.com is the website, unplannedfilm.com. Also, follow them on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. Tweet, retweet, share, get involved and be a part of this. We all say, most of us say that they're Christ followers anyway, that we're pro-life. My question is, prove it. Prove you're pro-life. Just a bumper sticker and a vote every 2 years isn't enough. We actually have to do more because children are dying. So we're talking to Carrie Solomon and Chuck Konzelman, who are the directors. Robia Scott is here. She plays Cheryl in the movie, which is kind of the main Planned Parenthood heavy. What was that like for you, Robia, to play the main Planned Parenthood heavy?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I vacillated a bit when I saw my material. I wasn't sure I wanted to step into that, but very quickly it dropped in my spirit that I was supposed to do this. I was supposed to, you know, be a part of kind of lifting back the veil and letting people see what's really going on.
And that's what's going on in the movie, right? In the story, in the book, you do that, but you got to pull back that veil. You guys know the story of Emmett Till? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah.
1950s, Emmett Till, Money, Mississippi, goes down there. He was 14 years of age. He's kidnapped, beaten to death. You can't hardly tell what he looks like. His mom brings his body back to Chicago, and they put a picture of his face on the cover of Jet magazine. And everybody's wondering, why in the world would you do that? That's so brutal. It's so obnoxious. It's so unbecoming. We don't need to see that. And she said, I wanted to open the casket on racism.
Mm.
And so this is why when we see pictures of aborted babies and people have a problem with that, I'm like, do you have a problem with social justice? No. Do you have a problem with civil rights? No. Then you shouldn't have a problem with this. And then I tell them the Emmett Till story.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
Before
Rubia?
The break, you had talked about should pro-choice
right.
people come? And, you know, again, what we talked about a little earlier in the show, that many of us believe what we believe because we've been programmed to believe it, because that's what television programming does. It programs you. So I was surprised to find out many Christians don't even realize that Planned Parenthood does abortions.
Yeah.
At all.
It's only 3%.
So, yes.
Let me give you a little.
That's the propaganda that they have fed us, which
I'll give you a little. Anybody have daughter? Okay, so you have a daughter. Let's go back in time a little bit. Steve Noble's single. I'm the same age as your daughter. And I'm coming over to pick your daughter up for a date. And you ask me, hey, Steve, what do you do with your time? And I say, well, 97% of my time, Robia, I work in soup kitchens. I teach in the elementary school. I do.
But there's this.
And you go, oh, that's interesting. What do you do with the other 3%? Oh, well, first of all, let me just remind you, it's only 3%.
Mm.
Yeah, Steve, but what do you do? Well, I kidnap, rape, and murder children. But it's only 3% of what I do, which is exactly what that lie is out of Planned Parenthood.
That too, by the way, that's a statistic.
It's a manipulated statistic.
True, has no truth in it.
Of course not.
Because what they do is, it's kind of like you go to the hospital. You have an emergency appendectomy. They bring you in, and imagine if someone came to visit and you said, "Well, what did you?" Well, 3% of my procedures who are at appendectomy. Like, what are you talking about? Well, they brought me in and they diagnosed me. That was a procedure, and they gave me some aspirin, and that was a procedure. Well, what happens is in the abortion process, when a woman who suspects she's pregnant comes in, she gets a pregnancy test kit, same as she could get in a drugstore first.
Procedure. That's one, right?
She then gets an ultrasound.
That's another one.
She then gets a counseling session.
Three.
A sales session. She then, and I'm not sure what others are before the actual procedure itself. So she has a procedure. Afterwards, she's booked for a post-abortion counseling session.
There's another one.
Most people don't show up for. She's given a bag with contraceptives and
there's another one.
Condoms. That's a separate procedure. So what happens is, even if the only thing you've ever come in for is an abortion, it's probably less than 10% of your procedure.
Yeah, they count up every pap smear, every test, everything that they do.
And so much of our country doesn't realize it's called Planned Parenthood, to plan for parenthood, but they do not offer any prenatal care.
No.
None.
And,
zero.
And by the way, if you're trying to get screened for breast cancer, don't go to Planned Parenthood because they don't do mammograms. Yeah, there's just one lie after another. It's really remarkable. What are your hopes and dreams for this year? Prayers. What are we hoping God does here?
My hope is Uncle Tom's Cabin. I'll settle for Bambi. How does that sound?
Wow.
Uncle Tom's Cabin.
I get the Uncle Tom's Cabin thing. I'm not tracking on the Bambi thing.
Yeah, nobody does. When Bambi came out, the film, sport hunting in this country declined between 35% and 40%. and it has never recovered.
Wow, how about that?
Because suddenly what had been a rite of passage for manhood,
going oh my goodness,
to the deer, suddenly there were kids everywhere begging their older brothers,
don't do it,
uncles, grandpa, don't go kill Bambi.
Wow.
And the act of bringing home a deer, you know, in the back of the pickup truck or over the hood of the car, that was just, it had suddenly become,
this,
you know, there'd be screaming children.
Yeah,
was,
yeah.
And so by virtue of one film, the American psyche was changed. And I'm hoping we can go.
Yeah. That. Awesome.
That's profound.
Terry, I think, you know, from our perspective, we've done a good part of what the Lord has called us to do. I think now it's also up to him. You know, God's will be done.
Yeah.
And I think that he's going to do a mighty work here. I think that we're talking about a movie unlike any movie I've ever seen. It's not a movie. It's a movement. I think it's going to pull back the curtain.
Yeah.
And I think people are going to be profoundly affected. I remember when I was a very little boy, I saw a picture of a Viet Cong soldier or a man from Vietnam and a soldier blowing his head off. And it was right on Life magazine. And it had a profound effect on the population.
Yeah.
It literally made us get out of Vietnam. The civil rights of German shepherds and hoses of water knocking down African Americans in riots and so on and so forth. Pictures are powerful. I believe that the Lord is going to use this picture and these images to alert people that you're a human being and so are these children.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
That you have to stop this. And so that's what we wish for.
Robia?
I can't say it any better than what you two have just stated. I do believe it's for such a time as this movie. The stage is being set politically in our culture. Now is the time. And I don't know if you shared this in the past, but the directors have had the rights to this movie for many, many years. And every time they went to make it, the Lord said to their spirit, not yet. And then finally there was a release.
Now's the time.
I am just excited to see how God is going to use this to shift the culture and to bring people an opportunity to look truth straight, to look right at it, and then to base their decision and their choices from that.
That's awesome. Talking about Unplanned, unplannedfilm.com is the website, unplannedfilm.com. One more thing on Emmett Till, then we'll pray together.
Well,
It'll take you there.
Unplannedfilm.com. Land to be there. So anyway, okay. Back to Emmett Till. All right. So there's a lady that knew about Emmett Till because his mom decided to open the casket and his face was on the front of Jet magazine. And that lady's name was Rosa Parks. Mm. And that day that Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat was not the first time that she had thought of doing that. She just didn't have the guts previously. And actually, Jesse Jackson interviewed her on this one. And he goes, "What was the difference?" And Rosa Parks says, "I didn't want Emmett Till to die in vain." And so she stayed her ground. And so a picture, a truth, a reality, an opening of the casket on racism is what eventually led to the civil rights movement. And you want to know what the ultimate social justice issue of the day is, since we like that phrase? It's this one. It's abortion.
Amen.
It's the death of the unborn. Let me pray for you guys right quick. We got about a minute and a half, and then we'll be done. We're live from the Museum of the Bible, as we do once a month. Unplannedfilm.com will get you there. All the different things that are going on, different ways to share it on social media. And if you're listening in the audience, you're in North Carolina, we're going to do several screenings around the state, and we all need to do our part. But let's pray for our friends right now. Father God, we come to you humbly acknowledging that you are the King of everything, the Creator of everything, the lover of everyone. Including, Lord, the 60 million children in America that are not with us today, but they're with you, and we thank God for that. But, Lord, I pray over my friends here, my brothers, my sisters, everybody at Unplanned, Lord, that you would not only protect them, but bless them beyond their wildest imagination, an Ephesians 3:20 kind of blessing, Lord. But more than anything, we pray that you will get behind this film and blow it out all over this country, that hearts and minds will change and that abortion will end.
Yes.
And that the post-abortive will find healing and will ultimately find you and will be born again. And they, every one of them, Lord, will get to meet their babies in heaven one day. We thank you for that reality, and we pray that you would just take it and use it for your glory and your glory alone in this country and around the world. And we ask all that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Okay, guys, thanks for being here today. I really appreciate
you.
We'll do it again, of course. Mi casa, su casa. This is Steve Noble live from the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C., which you also need to be a part of. I'll be back in Raleigh, God willing, tomorrow, and hopefully we'll talk to you guys on Monday. And like my dad always said, ever forward.